One, two, three. This is the start of the November 5th, 1986 interview with retired fisherman Angelo Ficarra of Apalachicola, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor, and this interview is done in connection with the Maritime Heritage Survey Project. Well, I wanted to start by asking you, Mr. Ficarra, when were you born?
I was born September 15, 1914.
Where was that?
At Apalachicola.
Did your parents live here too?
Yes, sir.
They live from Italy.
From Italy.
What area of Italy?
Sicily.
Mm-hmm. How do they happen to come over here?
Well, they came here on the... I think they came here on a boat, steamboat. What I mean, these here boats you work on, mm-hmm. We worked the stuff away down there. That's why they didn't have money then. You come down here and worked at Sharp's Mill for about 75 cents a day then.
What's Sharp's Mill?
Sharp's Mill, your lumber company.
Was that here in Appalachia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did they happen to decide to leave Sicily and come to America?
I don't know. A lot of them... came down here, a lot of Italian people.
Oh, yeah.
Greeks, too.
What were some of the families that were around when they were here?
Well, there was a lot of Spanish, there was a lot of Italians, Greeks. It was all mixed down here. They used to call it Irish Town.
Oh, yeah. What part of town was that?
Right in that uptown there by that filling station across from the hotel.
Oh, yes, yeah. Besides the Ficarras, what were some of the other Italian families that were around?
Well, the Grillos and the
Castorina,
Greek and the Greekos, Polaronas, Mosconas, Demos.
No Greeks.
There's mm-hmm. quite a few of them mm-hmm. then over here.
Did you grow up speaking Italian?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you speak any in the home now?
I speak in it when I meet some of them.
Oh, yeah. Do you know any Italian?
No, I don't think.
How about your son?
No.
No?
I try to learn them, but they wouldn't pick it up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What part of town did you live in as you were growing up?
Right there next to the... across from the hotel. We're on the home right there.
Oh, yeah.
It used to belong to my dad, and then he... moved to Galveston in 41, and he left the house to me.
Hmm.
And we finally sold it.
What street is that?
Market Street.
Market Street, oh yeah. When you were... what kind of work did your dad do?
He was oystering, shrimping, and mullet fishing, sturgeon fishing.
Hmm.
That's all they did them days.
Was he a fisherman in Italy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He used to catch sardines down there.
Oh, yeah. So he knew a thing or two about
mm-hmm.
the fishing business before he came.
And then we worked for Mr. Toronto for a long time. We had a 35-foot boat and had two skiffs, pull gill nets, you know, and go catch mullet. After we get through that, through the summer, we start oystering in October. And oyster through April, I think, May or... no, through April, and we start sturgeon fishing in a couple of months, and then go back shrimping, you know, all the way around.
How old were you when you went fishing for the first time?
I think I was 18 or 19 years old.
How did you learn about what you need to do to be
a
fisherman?
Well, my daddy showed me everything. Showed me how to pass a net.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I can't do it, so you do what I tell you. He showed me how.
Mm-hmm.
And in 19, when we left here in 59, and went to Port Arthur and went down there and worked on the seines down there, poking nets. Stayed there about 8 or 9 years and come back. And I went mullet fishing a while. And I got where I couldn't work no more.
Mm-hmm. When you were beginning fishing, what were the boats like that people used around here at that time?
They used 35, 40-foot boats. They had 10 horse clays in them. Some of them had Vulcans, some of them had Lathrops, different kind of motors, 15, 20.
What kind of fishing would they be doing in boats like that?
They're shrimp, oyster.
What were the smaller boats like, the oyster skiffs and others?
We didn't have no oyster skiffs then. I had one, you know, I just went when I wanted to go once in a while. But we also had them big boats, 35, 40-foot boats.
Who were those boats that were built around here?
Yes, a lot of them was built here. Old man Johnson used to build them.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Alicampo built some.
What was his name?
Alicampo.
Campo?
Mm-hmm.
He's dead now.
Uh-huh. None of them living. Yeah, they're building here. Yeah.
I was driving down on Water Street yesterday, and it came to the last building on the end there, to the eastward.
Way down yonder?
At the end of the road there.
Yeah, way down there?
Yeah.
That's Demo's place. Used to be George Demo's.
Oh, yeah. Old man. I noticed that there are a lot of old boats out in there.
Yeah.
Who built those boats?
Well, I think Neil Hinckley built a lot of them boats, small boats.
There are a couple that look like oyster skiffs, and they had that kind of Greek stem on them.
Well, that's Jimmy Demo built that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the Demo boys.
And there are a couple of bateaux there. One was plank and one was plywood.
Uh-huh. He did that.
Huh. Did he? Were they built right there?
Right there, bottom of his oyster house, shrimp house there.
And then there's a little boathouse, and it has a small boat about, oh, I don't know, 15 or 16 foot.
That's
it's got
right.
a bit of a well in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that boat?
Yeah.
What was that used for?
They used it for mullet fishing. Well, that's what we use now. We've got wells in the back, in front.
Mm-hmm.
Use mullet fishing. Put the motor in the bow, and you got a well cut in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. He's got a little museum of boats down there just about. Now, what was the very first type of fishing that you did?
It was mullet fishing. And sturgeon fishing most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Were there many people involved in sturgeon fishing at
that time? Oh, yeah. We had about 25, 30 boats, skiffs around here catching fish right here by that White Beacon across the river.
Mm-hmm.
We fished there the month of April. And then in May, we went up in the Brothers and fished another month.
Where is that? Where's the Brothers?
Up in the Apalachicola River.
Mm-hmm. How far up from town is that?
It's about 15 miles from here.
Oh, yeah. Now, what time of year would you fish for sturgeon?
We start fishing around middle of March, and then we fish April down here, and the first week of May, then we'll go back up in the Brothers, up the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fish up there till June, and then we quit. Then go back in the month of October when they start back out. Maybe a couple of weeks, you know, we don't fish through the whole month.
Hmm. Would you go out during the day and come back here and sleep? Or not?
Yeah, well, when we went up the river them days, we took a boat, big boat, took some ice.
Mm-hmm.
And what fish we caught, we kept them tied 2-3 days. And if any of them died, we iced them up.
You caught them live?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, we kept them live.
What did you keep them in?
We cut a rope through his mouth.
Yeah?
Put him back in the water.
They didn't thrash around and hurt
themselves? Yeah, they wiggle around. We tie them on a tree, on a limb of a tree, and they just bounce up and down.
Phew. How did you tie the rope onto him?
Go through his mouth and around his gill, leave enough slack where they can breathe.
Wow.
That lasts 3 or 4 days, as long as the water running. If you put them in eddy water, well, then about a couple of days, see that trash get in them and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to ice them up, butch them, ice them up, and then come back in about 2 days.
Hmm.
And at some time I come up here, I'm going fishing with my skiff, go up there and spend a day and come back.
Hmm. Well, now, what kind of gear did you need to catch
sturgeon? Well, we used sturgeon net. 9.5 inch stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That's 45 meters deep. And we had these life preserver corks you put on the where you can let slack and touch, where you can touch the bottom. Mm-hmm. That's where you catch fish and drift down the river. Mm-hmm. And you get certain bam, about a half a mile or a mile, you pull your net back up and go back. Strike again, come back down with the tide, see. And the fish will be coming up and you hit your net. And after that, had certain places where you go up there and set your nets. Mm-hmm. And you go run them every couple of hours and all that.
Hmm. Now, how long were those nets? You told me they're 45 meshes deep. How long were they?
Them drift nets is 50 fathom long. Mm-hmm. And the set nets was about 25, 30 fathom. Hmm.
Now, what time of day would you be doing drift netting?
We'd do it on whenever the tide was right. When the tide starts slacking up, mm-hmm. start running out, and start slacking. And then we start, and it'll stop. And then see the tide be coming in. You couldn't drift. You have to wait until she start moving back out.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that at nighttime?
Sometimes it'd be in the morning. Sometimes it'd be in the middle of the day. Sometimes it'd be in the evening. Mm-hmm. Well, I did a lot of fishing at night too. You catch a lot of them.
Did you have any lights that helped you out then?
Well, we had a lantern, you know, and all that on the boat.
Do you ever have any lights on the
nets? I had a big flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't put nets on there. Mm-hmm. They don't have lights, I mean, on the nets, because there ain't no way you can put them on there. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got them on set nets out here on the edge of the flats there where no boats come, because they say you have to have them there, but I don't understand why. Because mm-hmm. ain't nobody ever hits your nets down there. Mm. It's not no navigation place. It's just around these creeks, you know, it comes out of the river on the edge of the flats there, and no big boats go nowhere there.
Mm. Well, what were the set nets like?
We put a pole down and tie them and string them down along the water.
All the way just down. Be one pole on it?
No, I have about 14 nets. I have 14 poles. Stretch one there and one to the back, you know, right all along the side, each one.
The nets right. Be just in a straight line?
Uh-huh.
Would you have any anchors tied off the sides or anything
no.
like that? Just the poles holding
just
them?
Just the pole holding them, tied to keep them straight. Unless you get bad weather, it'll back them up, you know. That was on the inside of the bridge down there.
How long would those nets be?
About 25 fathom apiece.
Would they be the same?
25 meshes deep.
The whole distance of the net?
Mm-hmm.
Would there be weights on them or
no.
floats or anything?
No, just the floats. Well, them nets, we hang them with corks, little corks. And the one we fish in the rivers, we got big life preserver corks. You've mm-hmm. seen them. Mm-hmm. We space them every 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Put them on about 18 foot apart. Have a string on them, we can let them down. If it's you got 10 fathom of water down there, you net a fish about 6, you let 4 fathom on your cork so you can touch the bottom.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, were you saying that these nets were set by streams that came into the rivers?
Yeah, right inside the brothers. It's the mouth come down and the big river come from here. Fish goes up in the big river, and it goes into the little brothers.
Mm-hmm. Would the net be, say my arm is the mm-hmm. is the stream,
yeah.
would the net be set across like
no,
that?
No, straight down the river. You don't put them across.
Like that more?
This is your river coming yeah. down, you straight put them like that. Like your water's coming down,
right.
you put them straight like that. Because you put them across, if you have a little current, you pick your webbing up, and you can't get no fish.
Mm-hmm. So would the net be connected to the shore in any way?
We have a rope at times where the bank is not too far apart. Mm-hmm. We put a rope from one tree to another and across the river, and then tie so many nets, four nets to each rope, to the rope. Hmm. And if it's too far, well, you can't put a rope, it will anchor them on the end.
Mm-hmm.
We put an anchor mm-hmm. on.
How many, did you fish alone for sturgeon, or did people
I did
go with you?
I fished by myself. I took her with me a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Just my son had another boat. We had two boats running up there.
Hmm. Now, let's say you were out there, your net is set. We'll say this is a one of your set nets, and you're going back to check it. Let's say you've got some fish in your net. Mm-hmm. Then what happens? What do you do then?
We go and take them out, mm-hmm. run your net, and sometimes they come afloat. You know, the big ones come afloat.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and take them out and just leave your net right there. You don't move your net.
How do you remove the sturgeon from the net?
He's tangled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sturgeon ain't going to gill because if he gets through the mesh, he's going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be certain enough where it goes to his nose, you know, won't hit his gills. Of course, sometimes he catches gills and naturally drown him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find several of them drowning. We can go over there too late. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, we cut them all alive.
Did you need any tools to help you get them out of the net?
No.
Just did it by hand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You pick them up on the side, and all you have to do is put your head of the fish right, this is your boat,
yeah.
This is the water, and put it right on the side of your boat, top of the boat,
mm-hmm.
and you get on top of his head, and you come on in.
Hmm.
I had a lot of them cutting me, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. My legs, some of them, they hit you.
What, are there sharp places on the sturgeon?
Oh, yeah, all on the side, it's just like a knife.
Ooh. Let's see now. How many would you be likely to get in an average day?
Well, when they was running, we used to pick up, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 a day. Sometimes they wouldn't run. It would take 2 days before you can get 10, 12, 15 mm-hmm. fish. See, then fish wouldn't run every day.
Mm-hmm.
They'd lay down on that bottom. They wouldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed up there 3 days one time. We didn't catch a fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we run out of grocery, and the third day we start getting them. They start playing around. He ain't going to move. When he ain't going to move, he ain't going
to
move.
They're waiting for you to run out of grocery so you go away.
Yeah. The most fish I've caught up there was in Willis Land. I caught 54 in 4 hours.
Mm. What were the typical sizes of these fish?
They run anywhere from 25, 30, 40, 50, 75, 100, 200.
How long would fish like that be?
How long is he?
Yeah, what would the length be?
No, they'll run about 6 foot, 5, 6 foot.
For the big ones?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Well, after you caught them, you've got them alive, then what do you do with them?
Well, when we come back to town, we bring them to the fish house, put them on the dock, and they had a man there ready to cut them, cut the heads off and the tail and the wings off of them, and take the entrails out of there and just save the, some of them, you know, eat the liver. I've eaten liver. And on the head, big head has got meat on the side of them. They get that meat out, look like steak.
Hmm.
Well, then they clean all that blood from the bone, wash them, scrub them, they put them in ice. Hmm. And then they ship them off to the New York, different places where they can get their market for them.
Did you get a price for the whole fish or for the meat?
Yeah,
or the caviar?
I got the whole fish.
Mm-hmm.
I just sold the whole fish because we didn't get much money then, about 18 cents higher price we got for them. And I don't know what to sell them now. I think my son caught two or three once, 3 years ago. I believe he got, 200 pound, I believe. He got 80 cents a pound. No, he gave him $1 a pound, I think he
mm-hmm.
got. Now they put a closed season for 15 years, so I don't know when they're going to open and what they're going
to
do.
Why did they decide to do that?
They said it wasn't enough for fish in the river, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
The fish is up there. The fish, they have to know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
They just go in one place and tag fish. You ain't going to go over there every day and tag fish in the same place. Fish goes a different direction. There's got plenty of directions fish go to.
Mm-hmm.
We caught fish in St. Mark's. We caught fish in East River. We caught fish Lake Wimico. See, they don't go nowhere down there. They're just going up there to up the big river down there, Chattahoochee down there, the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Tagged them fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they don't look mm-hmm. around.
Besides fishermen from Appalach. Were there other communities that had sturgeon fishermen?
In different places?
Along the coast here, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got them down the east coast there. They catch plenty of sturgeon in them places.
Mm-hmm.
St. John River, and they had the Oklakana River, Chacktehatcha River, Pensacola. Used to catch quite a few fish. You know, everybody's dead. I don't think there's too many fish in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, when you were fishing for sturgeon, were you, during these same years, were you also going after other types of fish, too, to make a living?
Yeah. We switch around. Fish for this a while and go mullet fishing, go shrimping. We didn't go steady for one thing. You know, maybe 1 or 2 months for this, and then we'd go for this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in one fish one fish for all the time.
Hmm. Now, apart from your boat and your nets, did you need any other types of gear to fish for sturgeon?
Just the ropes to tie your fish with. That's all you need. Take your groceries and whatever you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Gas and motor.
Mm-hmm. Would there be other men on the boat with you?
Yeah, at times I take somebody with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep wanting to go with me, go up there and spend a day.
Mm-hmm. When you brought them back down the river to Appalachia to sell them, how did you bring them along?
I brought them in the boat.
Oh, you put them in the boat then?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And brought them down in the boat. They'll live 2 hours. It didn't take us about an hour, down 20 minutes to come down the river.
Mm-hmm. Did you have them in any kind of pen or anything? Or
no,
they just on the deck?
Just inside the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Cover them up. I can't
calling
get it.
Calling to you?
Go ahead, I can't.
I got this thing.
Well, we can. Let's see now. Where did you go about doing your mullet fishing?
Well, we mullet fish around the islands, St. George Island, a lot of times. When me and my daddy used to fish with a big boat, two skiffs, catch mullet fish down to St. George Island, all around the coast up there.
What time of year would you fish for mullet?
Well, we fish from June till October.
Was that any particular time of the day you would go?
Well, when we stayed in the boat, we spent a night over there and fish all half of the night, and then about an hour in the morning to come back town.
What do you need to know to be a good mullet fisherman?
You need to know how to patch your gill net. You ain't going to have none. That's right. Yeah.
Well, how did you know where to find a mullet?
You can see them jumping, you know, go along the... You'd be pulling. We didn't run the motor then. We pulled with the oars, and my daddy's pole in front of the bow, and we'd have a pole, push the boat, and every time you see something jump, breaking, well, we go ahead and make a round set. That's where we caught them.
You said you didn't have a motor, or you just didn't run?
No, not then we didn't have. Them days we didn't have no motors. We just pulled with our oars and struck, made a circle around by oars.
Hmm.
Now everybody got motors, so they ain't got no work. Them days we used to put our boat in one place and go down about 15 miles and come back. I had a pull back.
Hmm. Did you carry sail or anything?
No.
Jeez. Well, how big were the boats that you were using for mullet?
Just 15, 16-foot skiffs.
Were those plank boats?
Mm-hmm. We get to the boat, ice up, throw the fish on deck, and ice them up.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see the boats that people use for mullet today, the ones with the wells for the for the engines. Was the shape of the boat at all similar to the ones that you used?
You mean the skiffs?
Yeah.
Well, they're about the same, but the only thing that we didn't have no motors then, just plain boats, you know, put the net in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't use no motor then.
Was there any kind of a roller on the stern?
No, we didn't have them then.
Mm-hmm.
Just had the net sitting on top of the boat.
Yeah, we're making a little tape here. I'll play some back a little while you can hear.
Mm.
What size nets were those for mullet?
We used inch and a half bar, 3-inch stretch, summertime, nylon. And there was about, 150, 60 fathom apiece. We had two, one on each boat. Mm-hmm.
Did you
40 meshes deep.
Oh, yeah. Did you make the nets yourself?
No, we ordered them from the factory. Uh-huh. And then we hung them in.
You'd cut them and hang them yourself?
Mm-hmm. Then we dye them every week, you know, net dye, keep them from rotting.
What kind of a dye was that?
We ordered that. Well, before we ordered that anything, we used to hire somebody to go cut this bark off of the trees, you know, and it took us about 6 hours to boil that stuff. And then we found out they had some kind of dye in Tampa. They call it net cuts dye.
Hmm.
And it didn't take about 30 minutes, you know, boil that, dye your nets, and we was through with it.
Hmm. What was this bark that you took off? What kind of tree was
oak,
it from?
Oak.
Hmm. Was there anything they called that stuff?
It's kind of like a wine in there, I don't know, but they wouldn't let you do it. If they catch it, they'll put it.
What did you put the nets and the dye in to do that?
Well, we had a half a barrel, and then we had a big barrel where we boiled the stuff in. After it got cooked it, we took it out of that and put it in that half a barrel. That's where you dip your nets.
Hmm.
Put them in there about 10 minutes and get them out. We had about 4 bundles of them and cover them up. The next day, we go on fishing.
Hmm. How come you had to do it so often?
Well, at least every week or 10 days, because if you're doing that mud, eat them up. See, them were not monofilip nets you got in there. They don't do nothing with them. Them was nylon nets, cotton nets, stuff like that. They wouldn't last if you didn't take care of them.
Mm. Now, you were doing oystering at this time, too?
Yeah, at the time we oyster a while, and we go fishing a while. You know, not all it's 4, 2, 3 months at a time. You know, oyster a little bit here and fish a little bit.
Would you be using the same boat for all these things?
Yeah, we got the same big boat, but we didn't use the skiffs to go shrimping on. We just used the boat.
Mm-hmm. Now, your son now has got a couple of boats, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just two?
He's got an oyster boat, a little oyster boat, about, I think, 25 foot, and a sturgeon boat, mullet boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's got.
So, like you, he was ready for any type of fish that was around at that time.
You're right.
He's curious too.
And that's why I was hoping that if somebody could, you know, do something about the study and let them fish at least 4 months out of the year, it'd be all right.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be getting that many fish because we ain't gonna fish through the 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Hmm. Where did you oyster when you were oystering?
We oystered for Joe Toronto and old man Jim Anderson. Was only two. Most of the wells for Joe.
Where did Jim Anderson have his?
He used to have his place. You know where that vacant lots are now. Ain't no more houses on the other side. You know where Toronto is.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side is a little house there.
Mm-hmm.
And they all tore off now. Down there ain't no more buildings.
But he used to be next to Toronto.
No, next across from that city dock on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't no more. There used to be, let's say it was a big, there was Jim Anderson there, and there was Menigo Rizzitano there, and Belton was on the other side, and had, Demo was way down below, old man Rice was way down below, and Pat and Cutman was down here, so we had plenty of factories down there handle shrimp. They used to boil shrimp. They used to put them in cans and ship it off.
Mm-hmm.
And steam oysters. This place was boom them days.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got it no more.
Yeah. What was that building used for on the other side of Toronto's?
That used to be an old ice house. Make ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another ice house up above down there by across from Weefin's. Where Ike Wade's. That's the ice house.
Is that still making ice down
there? No.
What does he do there?
He's handling shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all he gets.
Yeah. Now, when you worked for Toronto's and Anderson's, did they own the boat or did you own the boat?
No, then we owned the boat then. But there, he had plenty of boats. He used to let people, you know, take them on out. Half share.
Mm-hmm.
he had quite a few. And Toronto had, I guess he had about 10 or 12 too down there. Of course, we used one of his boats then. We know we sold that one when we left. My daddy left and went to Italy in 1926, went to Italy, stayed there about 5 months, come back. And went back to work for the Acton Packing Company a while. And then we went to work for Joe Toronto to run his boat.
Did he think he was going to go back and remain in Italy?
Well, that's what he wanted to do, but Mom and them said, no, we're going back.
He had no choice?
We come on back. Mm-hmm. We come on back. We're on a big ship. Mm-hmm. It was nice over there.
You went too?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I was 12 years old then. Yeah, the whole family went.
I see. How did it work out speaking Italian there? Did you have any trouble with
it? All right,
Yeah.
I just had a little argument with some boy. He was about the size of me. And I run because I know he's going to throw a rock at me. And I run and went in the house. It was nice. We was living right there by the water.
Yeah.
And Daddy had a big stone house right there, pretty home. Get on. Yeah, nice.
Well, I'm going to have to put on another tape here.